Turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. And when you find Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31, will you stand with me, please, as we read together God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jeremiah starts out like many of the Old Testament prophets, many of the books in the Old Testament. Jeremiah was writing during a period of the captivity of Israel. Because of their dispersion into the land of Babylon, because of their failure to keep the seventh year holy unto the Lord as a Sabbath year, as they were supposed to, they had violated this principle, this judgment, this commandment of God. And because of that, they were to spend 70 years in Babylon. In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5, Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all the peoples of the earth. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6, we find, You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your daughters or your sons, or taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall not break their altars and dash into pieces their pillars. Judges chapter 3 and verse 6. And their daughters they took to themselves for wives, and their own daughters they gave to their sons, and they served other gods. Jeremiah chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. God says, Because you have done worse than your fathers, for behold, every one of you follows his own stubborn evil will, refusing to listen to me. Therefore will I hurl you out of this land into a land that neither your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor. There are at least five major covenants that are mentioned in Scripture. The first one is the Edenic covenant, of course, that was made in the Garden of Eden. The second was the Adamic covenant that was made directly with Adam. The third was the Noahic covenant that was made directly with Noah. The next was the covenant that was made with Moses, the Mosaic covenant, and then the Davidic covenant that was made with King David. A covenant can be looked at in several different ways. First of all, a covenant is usually the responsibility of the person making the covenant in order to keep the covenant, in order that the covenant might be valid. Therefore, we find in Scripture a number of different covenants, but God said that he would make a new covenant with his people. What happened to the children of Israel happens so much with you and I today if we are not careful. They valued their satisfaction over their salvation. They valued their satisfaction over their relationship with their God. They valued their satisfaction over their desire to serve and to walk with God and to be the example to the world that God had intended them to be. Therefore, in the law, particularly in the Mosaic Law and the covenant that God made with Moses, God made certain demands. If you will, I will. And so the burden of responsibility was left upon the people and the obedience of the people before God then could bring about a blessing upon their lives. Israel had forsaken God. They had turned away from God. They had walked away from God. And as a result, God had no other choice then but to punish sin in their life. All of the covenants in the Old Testament point to the new covenant that was to come, that Jesus Christ would one day die on Calvary's cross, and that His blood would be the complete atonement for our sins and for our salvation, and that His blood would wash away all of our sins. For without the shedding of blood, according to Hebrews, there is no remission. In other words, removal or remittance of sin. We are charged before God. We are sinners by nature. We are sinners by choice. We are born into sin. We are born with a sinful nature. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." And so we have made for ourselves broken cisterns, just as the children of Israel did. We have made for ourselves idols of worship. We have made for ourselves things that draw our desire away from the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Some of us are more concerned about our reputation than we are our relationship with Christ. Some of us are working on making perfect situations in our homes and our families. Some of us are designed to be great parents. Some of us are looking for the ultimate relationship. The more friends I have, the more value I'll have. If I'm married, I'll have worth. If I have a child, I definitely have worth. If my coworkers like me, I will have value. If I'm desirable physically by others, I will have great work and great value. Some of us, if we're not careful, we're caught up in the cistern of ability, our intellectual ability, our physical ability. We want all to be better than somebody else. We always measure ourselves by the standard of someone else rather than the standard of God. Some of us acquire great knowledge, and because of the more knowledge I have, then the more I'm worth. Some of us find our security within our jobs. If I have this certain job, then I can afford this home. I can have this family. I can have this stability. I can wear these clothes. I can drive this automobile. I can take this vacation. I can go places I've never been before. What is wrong with all of these? Nothing, as long as they do not become broken cisterns in our life. Nothing, as long as we do not allow them to do as the children of Israel allowed the broken cisterns to do. You see, Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are deceived by our own hearts. Our own hearts lead us away from the centrality and the simplicity of the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, that without the shedding of that blood, there can be no remission of sins. William Dryness, an Old Testament theologian, explained a covenant like this. And so let's go to the next slide, please. A covenant is a solemn promise made binding by an oath. In the Old Testament, the covenant rests upon God's promise. It is the care and the core of the Hebrew understanding of their relationship with God. You see, God so desired a relationship with man that He bound Himself by certain boundaries and by certain pillars and by certain principles and by certain practicalities. He bound Himself to His people. But all that the law could do was point out that you and I are complete failures. Can you imagine that this morning? Every one of us, including your pastor, is a complete failure. And all that the law can do is condemn us, just as we condemn one another for that which we see the speck in their eye and cannot behold the beam that is in our own eye. All that the law can do is penalize us. All that the law can do is place us in jeopardy forever, never to be released. There are basically two types of covenants. One is called a parity treaty covenant. It is between two equal parties. The other is called a suzerainty covenant, a new name perhaps to you, made between a superior and a vassal, God and I. I'm just a vassal. Do you see yourself this morning as just a vassal? Do you understand this morning that your sins have separated you from God? Do you understand this morning the state that you live in, if you continue to live in that state, that you are eternally separated from God? That God in His great mercy can do nothing for you and nothing for I until we realize our own vassalness. We are a sinner. We are a sinner by nature. We have no choice in that. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." Not that she was a sinful woman, but he was born with a sinful nature. He had no choice. You and I have no choice. But my friend, listen to me this morning. We have a choice in the way we live. Temptation is very real. Temptation, Satan is like a roaring lion. We can see him come as a roaring lion, and we can be ready for him. But when he transforms himself into an angel of light and appears as good, he deceives even the very best of us into thinking that I'm okay. And if I'm okay, then God must be okay with me, because God has surely looked upon me with his favor. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "For by the works of the law, no human being will ever be justified in God's sight." Since through the knowledge of the law, through the knowledge of the law comes sin. The wrath of God is God's judgment on sin. Some say, how can a loving God be so wrathful? He's wrathful because he is loving. His wrathfulness is because he is loving to you and I. He does not want us to stay in the condition that we are in. He does not want us to live in the condition that we are in. He does not want us to practice the things that we have practiced. He does not want us to be engaged in the things that we engaged in. He wants to set us free. He wants to deliver us from the power of sin, from the presence of sin. And one day, dear church, he is going to return to deliver us from the very presence of sin and take us and usher us into his glorious presence. What a hallelujah day that's going to be. You see, that's why he died on the cross of Calvary. That's why he was buried. That's why he was resurrected. But then we come to our passage this morning in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. Something happens in this passage. God makes an indelible promise. Let me read those words to you and I again. Let's grasp hold of this great truth to the church today. The promise that God made to you and I today, that none of us have to live as a vassal. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with the fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me." And then I love this last part. "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Now, look up here just a minute. I want you to hear what I'm about to say, okay? If we're all sinners by nature and we're all sinners by choice, and 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then we prostrate ourselves on the altar of God. And we cry out for His grace. And we cry out for His mercy. And Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 22 and 23 and following says that God so chooses because He knows the frame of every one of us. And every one of us have feet of clay. And we're going to fail and we're going to falter somewhere. And we're going to be a vassal. Worthless. 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 But when we fall on that grace and that mercy of God, something happens. You see, we are broken cisterns. Every one of us are broken. We're covenant breakers. Think for a moment. You can take your car into a garage to have the mechanic look at it, and he comes out and he tells you this, and this is broke. And everything that's broke about your car exceeds the value of that car. Do you understand this morning that sin will take you farther than you want to go, cost you more than you want to pay, and leave you and me worthless? I've said this before. I say it again this morning. Satan, when he's finished with us, as a Hershey bar, he'll wad up that wrapper and throw it by the road. And the wind will come as the traffic travels. Have you ever seen a plastic bag on the road? How many of you ever tried to dodge a plastic bag on the road? Be careful. You'll hit yourself. Yeah. That's what your life is like when sin is finished. We have a choice this morning. We have a choice. You see, God said it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set His love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all people. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that He swore to His fathers. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 explains it for us very well. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, the new covenant makes all things new. The new covenant does not depend on man's faithfulness to God. Hallelujah. I want you to look up your preacher this morning. I'll blow it. I blow it big sometimes. I guess I'm the only one that does that. Can I hear an amen? I guess I'm the only one that blows it. I guess the rest of you are perfect. I guess you have perfect feet. You don't have feet of clay like I do. Sometimes I become so angry at myself. Sometimes I become so frustrated at myself because of the things that I allow to happen in my life. And at my age, it shouldn't happen. How long has it been since you've been angry at sin? I'm not talking about the sin in somebody else's life. I'm talking about the sin that eggs you on every day that you live. I'm talking about the sin that unknowingly to you, you begin to worship. You begin to desire it. Because you see, it transforms itself into an angel of light. It looks so good. It looks so perfect. It's what I need. God did not find fault with His covenant, but with His people. I want you to do something right now. Take your hands and do this. Come on, every one of you. Shame on you if you don't. Shame on you if you don't. None of us are perfect. None of us. We're only made perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're only made perfect in the blood of Jesus Christ. The law made nothing perfect because it could not change a human heart. All the law could do is condemn. Only God's grace can change a human heart. Only God's grace can transform you and I. The new covenant rests on the I will of God and not the if you will of man. It's on God, and He promises to put His law within us. He promises to write it on our heart. He promises to make us know Him. God promises to satisfy His wrath. Can you just imagine for just a moment that God turned and took all of the sin of all of the ages, past, present, and future, and made him to become sin, who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus writes in Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness or the remission of sins." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the great apostle Paul writing, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things pass away, and all things become new." Imagine for just a moment, look at your coat this morning, look at your suit, look at your tie, your pants, look at your shoes. Look at your hair for just a moment, or look at the hair of your spouse or a neighbor, and just think if you never had to go get another haircut. Just think if you never had to buy another pair of shoes. Just think if you never had to buy another suit of clothes. Just think if you never wore out the shirt you wear, the tie you wear. Think if it never grew old. Last Sunday, I pulled out a tie to wear for the service, and when I looked at it, I said, "Can't do it." It was at least this wide. I could have wiped my face with it several times. I walked in, I shared it with Doug. He said, "Here, you can have mine." I said, "Nope, that's okay. Keep yours on." You see, beloved of God, listen to me carefully. Don't miss this. On the outside, I'm not perfect, and neither are you. But we have been made perfect in Jesus Christ by the shed blood on Calvary's cross. What we could not do for ourselves, God has done for us. And God has said, "I will. I will. I will keep that covenant." You see, our hope is in God, not in our circumstance. Which means we have hope in our circumstance, amen? If we have hope in God, amen? Which means we aren't defined by our successes and our failures. We aren't defined by the things we do or we don't do. We're defined by God who made us his child. You see, God cannot sin. Neither can God lie. Neither can God look upon sin. Therefore, if I have been born again, the seed of God lives inside of me. You say, "Wait a minute, Pastor. Are you telling me you're perfect?" Yeah, I'm perfect. You are too. In the sense that the seed of God lives inside of you, you're spiritually perfect. You're born again. But you're still living in an earthly house. You're still subject to the temptations of the world. Let me tell you something this morning. My enemy is not the devil. My enemy is not the world out there. I can see both of them coming. You know who my enemy is? The world? No. Satan? No. The flesh. The gratification of the flesh. And that's where my battle is today. And if you'll be true and faithful and honest in this service this morning, that's where your battle is. Your battle is with self. Aren't you glad this morning that 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'm going to ask you to bow your heads right now.